We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
West Virginia coach Bob Huggins previews tomorrow's game against Austin Peay. That's coming up right after this.
The 22nd winningest program of all time.
Let's roll out the carpet and bring on the Mountaineers.
46 postseason appearances.
Layup shot, good, and a foul!
One of the most electric atmospheres in the country.
The West Virginia Mountaineers have knocked off the number one rated Kansas Jayhawks.
This is West Virginia basketball. Be part of the action at the Coliseum. Tickets are on sale now at WVUgame.com. Secure your seats today.
This Terry Taylor guy, he's the best Austin Peay guy since Fly Williams?
I wouldn't compare him to Fly, but he's good. He's a good player. Sean played against him in high school.
Coach, what does your team learn from the last game, and do you think that they take that to heart?
Yeah, I mean, they were hurt, I think. They've been really good in practice. You know, they want to be good. They want to represent this university in a form and fashion that it ought to be represented.
You take the glass half full look at that. I mean, the way you played and to still be in that game at the end, that says something about them fighting through what they, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but they've been that way, you know. I mean, we've been in some hard games. We were in some hard games in Cancun, and they've fought through things. You can't go 5-for-12 from the foul line, and a lot of them front ends of one-on-ones, and we missed. God, we had to miss 10, 12 just point-blank one-footers, and it was just. You know, you miss shots sometimes, and that's understandable, but I don't know about missing that many of those. I mean, it just, for whatever reason, I don't think our focus was there. And St. John's that was a huge game for St. John's. That's their first game in the Garden. They want to get back, I think, to playing in the Garden on a regular basis, so that was important for them, maybe probably more important for them than seemingly it was for us. And after all these years, I'm not sure what you do. You tell them, you know, you continue to tell them, but I don't know how you know whether you get through to them or not.
When you study the tape of those 22 turnovers, how many of them were St. John's? How many of them were on your guys for being careless, and I guess?
Probably half and half. St. John's played hard. I mean, they really did play hard, and they ran some balls down from behind, but there wasn't anybody on us when we dribbled off our foot three or four times. You know,
what does it say to you that at this stage of the season it's still only four or five undefeated teams in college basketball right now? That four number ones have lost already.
Probably more parity than there's been in a long time.
Because...
To
the question.
I know. I'm trying to answer it intelligently. It's hard for me. I think what it means is that maybe the traditional powers aren't quite as good as what they've been. You don't always make shots, and you know, I think Louisville, for instance, is going through a period where they're not making shots. They didn't make shots the last game, and they were fortunate to win, and it carried over, and they didn't make shots this game. And likewise, you know, Texas Tech had just lost a couple, and they made shots, and they did that without Moretti really having a big game, so. We're still talking about, you know, 18, 21-year-old kids. How do you know how that, you know, when they're going to show up, when they don't show up?
And it relates back to your team, I mean, the same way.
We haven't made shots all year, though. I mean, we've made a conscious effort to go out and recruit guys that we thought could make shots and made shots where they were, and I think they will make shots, but they haven't made shots yet. I mean, we've won games because we've rebounded the ball really well, and we're getting better defending. But I mean, let's be honest with that. That game should have went to overtime. So who knows? I mean, that game, there's absolutely no reason it didn't go to overtime.
About the extended 3-point line nationally, do you think that's changed the shooting any?
No, but I think our guys were trying to prove they couldn't make NBA threes. I don't think it makes a difference in a corner, but that's it. I mean, you know, how many times can you watch a guy step out of bounds?
It's
happening all the time, and you know, I mean, we knew it was going to happen. I mean, we're sitting in a room, and that's what the coaches in a room were talking about. I mean, we're going to have to spend time making sure that, you know, and kids today, for whatever reason, they step back before they go forward. I mean, you know, that's been in the game for a while.
I mean, is it worth it to design stuff for corner threes when you got that little space?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're trying to teach them not to step backwards, but That's a big part of our game.
Does the extra space help it, you know, maybe design something inside? I mean, it's not a huge change from last year, but does this open up the inside a little bit?
No. I mean, that was the theory. But, you know, you guard guys that can shoot, and the guys that can't shoot, you really don't guard anyways. So it's not like Derek doesn't have people sitting in his lap all the time. So, no, I mean, I think that's a total fallacy. I think we're trying to do, seemingly, and this is just my opinion, but we seemingly are trying to eliminate post play altogether. We're trying to eliminate the physicality in the game.
Coach, I guess the other day on TV, the guys were saying that Jordan was playing on a sore ankle.
He sprained his ankle the day before, or two days before.
How bad was it? And, like, you know, what's he been going through this year?
Well, that's the first thing he's gone through from a injury standpoint. But I mean, he does whatever it takes. You know, I mean, he was in the weight room nonstop, or no, not the weight room, the training room nonstop. And it was, you know, it's sore, but once you start playing, you don't think that much about it.
You've talked in the past about shooting also being a product of good passing.
Uh-huh.
Are you seeing that? Is that part of the problem maybe a little bit with what you're having to deal with?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough to shoot a ball you field off your knees. It's tough to shoot a bounce pass that comes in below your waist. You know, when you first started playing catch, right, did you ever play catch? Okay, so when you first started playing catch, instead of turning your glove over, you just kind of kneeled down a little further so you could keep your glove up here, right? You didn't want to really, you didn't have a lot of confidence in turning your glove over. It was a little awkward. Well, I think the same thing applies to shooting. Now all of a sudden I have to turn my hands over here to catch the ball, instead of it being here, where all I have to do is catch it here and raise it up. Now I've got it here. I've got to somehow turn it over here and not have it going this way, then this way. You understand what I'm saying? And so when you force people to turn their hands over, they're not going to shoot it as well.
And you're seeing some of that?
No, I'm seeing a lot of that. Yeah, a lot.
How much practice time was spent at the free throw line this week?
Well, they make 100 a day. I can't. Some of them make them faster than others, but they make 100 a day.
Bob, over the summer, you called Emmett your most improved player through first 7-8 games. Just what are you seeing out of him so far?
He was really good until the St. John's game. He didn't have a good game, but he was our most consistent guy through the first 7 games.
What kind of role is he? Is he settling into a role now, or is he just kind of filling in where you need him to, just depending on the game?
No, he's been our small forward. He's played the most minutes of anybody on our team.
What do you got to see from Jordan to keep him out there longer, or do you need to keep him out there? Or?
Well, he's struggling making shots right now.
Right.
He's struggling making shots right now, and whoops, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You know, Deuce has played well. And it's not a matter of Jordan not doing the right thing. It's just Deuce has, at this point in time, you know, has played better. Now, you know, tomorrow, Jordan may play better.
Could be, too.
I mean, and Deuce didn't have a real good game in the Garden either. But honestly, yesterday, the best guard on our team was Knapp. But that... I mean, that fluctuates from day to day with those guys.
What's Knapp doing well for you right now?
Made shots yesterday. I mean, he really shot the ball well yesterday. You just got to stop turning it over, but they all do. That's been the biggest problem with our point situation. And I thought Jordan's ball security last year at the end was better than what it is now. And I don't know if he's pressing or what. He says he's not, but we just got to have better ball security. Can't have 22 turnovers.
I know a lot of your rotations and the way you get move guys is based upon how hard they play in defensively. But in the back of your mind, are you thinking, okay, I need to get guys in there that are making shots? Is that in the back of your mind when you're doing that, thinking about that?
I think that's why we played Sean. He's made more shots than everybody else. We got to score, you know. We can't. You know, Oscar struggled, and that was a very physical game. That was the antithesis of what we talked about in a Rules Committee meeting. It was
a game from 06.
Yeah, it did. And you know, it's hard to catch a ball with one hand, you know, because somebody's got to hold the other one. And you know, we didn't combat that very well. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, it's like missing shots. It's going to happen. You know, you have to figure out how you still win when you miss shots. And we've done that before because we've rebounded it better than everybody else, and because we've defended better than everybody else.
You almost did it Saturday, too. Almost.
Yeah. Well, like I said, should have been overtime.
Bob, good signs from McNeil, of course, but you see a little bit of Taz in that second half where he looked more like himself.
Taz played, yeah. He played a little better in the second half. He played a lot better yesterday. So I think he's been banged up. You know, I think that probably has something to do with it. But, you know, if we could ever get Sean shooting it the way Sean's capable of shooting it, Taz shooting it, Chase shooting it, I mean, then we've really got something. And then that opens things up a lot more for Oscar and Derek as well.
These guys tomorrow, what are the problems that they're going to present? What are you looking for there?
Well, Fig's a good coach, you know. I mean, he spent a lot of time with Frank, and they play defensively the way Frank's teams play, and they've got good players. I mean, they've got a freshman guard who's very good, creates off the bounce. He can catch and shoot. He can bounce it, and they're good inside. They're good. They're deep inside. They're not as big as we are, but they're 6'7".
It seems almost like this, the step from junior college to here is almost as big as from high school here. Seems like it takes some guys sometimes a year to really get your feet on the ground. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you see that a lot with junior college guys. You know, and I mean the great ones that I had, like a Reuben Patterson, who played, 10-12 years in the league. Reuben didn't really hit stride till his second year. Some of them, Eric was that way. Eric Martin was 10 times the player his senior year as he was his junior year.
Why do you suppose that is? And they've got, you know, usually two or three more years experience.
Well, generally speaking, and it's a generality. It's not because there are, but most of those guys don't practice more than an hour. You know, it's kind of like it used to be here. You know, you got phys ed in here until noon, and then you have volleyball or wrestling or gymnastics or whatever in here, and then you know then you get in, and then all of a sudden it becomes the rec center. And that's that way at a lot of junior colleges. So your window to get in a gym is a much smaller than what it is when you have the facilities that we have now.
And that was West Virginia coach Bob Huggins. Thanks for listening.